Amen. Did you notice, where's Tyler at? He's still up here. Did you notice that all the songs today, really, if you think about it, had to do with God being our source, you know, our source. He's the author of life. He's the creator. And I really want to talk about that today. As Kim knows, I had planned on continuing on the verse in Romans 12 this morning and had notes to that effect until yesterday. And I really just had that sense that God wanted to speak on something else, wanted me to speak on something else, and so just trying to be obedient through the night last night and then again this morning. I believe that even the song selection, Tyler, gave me confirmation, which is a wonderful thing. It is an awesome thing to be inspired, led, guided, directed by the Lord, but it's not an exact science, is it? I mean, come on, we're just going to be human and real today, transparent. We're learning, aren't we? We're all learning to tune into the Lord. We're all learning to try to pay attention to His Spirit and His leading in our lives. And there's good reason for that. It's because the Lord wants to lead us to that place of life. Amen? I mean, that's what Jesus said when He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we know that the same verse talked about how the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. And have it to the full. So I want to talk about that life, Zoe, life today. I want to talk about how and why God made us and how indeed we are made up. Because here's the deal, and this really, for those of you that come Wednesday nights, this was in part certainly a confirmation to one of the questions or comments we had Wednesday night, Dale. And that was when one among us said, you know, I have a friend who's been a Christian for a while, but I'm watching now that that person is not changing. Meaning that they weren't changing like the old ways. They weren't really becoming more like Jesus. And if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that one of my platforms, if you will, that God has truly put in my heart is to help us understand that God's highest will for our life after our salvation is for us to become more like Jesus. That's His highest will for us, to become more like Christ. And that is a process, and that's because of how He made us. So the Bible tells us, to be specific, that that God made us spirit, soul, and body. And so, you know, the scriptures that really reinforce that, if you need a reinforcement, are verses like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where it says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we know too that there's other passages like Hebrews chapter 4 that talks about how the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Spirit, soul, and body. A very straightforward way, as you know, of coming to the table, if you will, to dig in and get a deeper understanding. A very simple starting point is to say that you are a spirit and you have a soul and you live in a body. You are an eternal spirit, and you have an eternal soul, and you live in a body that unfortunately no longer is eternal. And we know the body part. The body, you know, is how we are made in the physical to be able to relate to the physical world through our senses. How many senses? Who can name the senses? Just try. Hear, see, touch, smell, taste. Yeah. Those are the five most common senses that we talk about. And they actually are gateways. You know what a gateway is, right? They are gateways into our soul. Yeah, gateways. So, you know, that's the eye gate is a very powerful gateway into our soul. Amen? But so is the ear gate, right? Very powerful gateways. And also, you know, this whole thing about feeling and touching and tasting, it is indeed how God made us to be able to not only relate to the physical, but to enjoy it. Amen? That's the reality of it. And we understand how that can be abused, right? And we'll actually get into a little bit of that. As we want to understand how this good creation that God made can also go astray, can actually become not so good, and indeed capable of great evil, right? But also capable of great good. So let's start with spirit. Now here's really what I want you to grab a hold of this morning and really just apply this to where you're at today. To know that you are a spirit means that your spirit, right, is that non-physical life force that houses your soul. One more time. Your spirit is that non-physical life force that houses your soul. It is what makes us a living being. When God breathed into the nostrils of this dirt man, right? Earth man, dirt man. When he breathed into the nostrils, he breathed the non-physical spirit into him. It says in the Bible that he became a living soul, a living spirit, right? A living being would be the better translation. That God, who is the life force, you see where I'm going with this, right? Who is the life force, breathed that life force and made us a living being. That's our spirit. So your spirit being the non-physical life force that houses the soul, it is, in other words, your spiritual house. Can you grab that? Your spirit is your spiritual house. It's what makes you a spiritual being. It does, however, exert influence upon your soul. In fact, it is through you being a spirit that you were made able to relate to God who is spirit, right? This is the way that we were made to relate to, even commune with God. It, indeed, your spirit was meant to connect with God who is spirit. And that is that it draws, your spirit draws its life force from the ultimate life force who is God. Can you grab that? Now think about that with me. You know, your spirit meant to connect with God is what draws its life force from the ultimate life force, God. So our spirit connected to God who is spirit gives life to our entire being, including body. Including body, right? In fact, if you just want to recall with me, whenever God told Adam and Eve that sin would cause death, right? He was referring to a spiritual death right, that cuts off that life force and inevitably affects the physical. And here's a great illustration to understand that. That happens, you know, sin severing that connection to the life force of God. It slowly causes us to die. In the same way, this time of the year, my brother Dan can attest, you know, whenever your cucumbers or zucchinis or squash, right, you know, become ripened, you cut that off, the fruit off of the vine. You're actually disconnecting it from its life force. Are you following the illustration? Now, eventually, it takes a while, but eventually that fruit would begin to wither and die and rot, right? Decay. So in the same way, when sin separated us from the life force of God, what happened to our physical bodies? Took a while, didn't it? Did you ever read about the age of some of those ancients who were the first generations after sin entered? How old did they live? How long did they live? Long. Who was the oldest man in the Bible? You should know this, right? Old Methuselah. How many years? Do you remember? 969. Yeah. That's a long time. And you start to see, right, when you read, didn't you ever take the time to read about it, to see, you start to see that lessening and lessening and lessening, didn't you? And then, of course, God did something after the flood to cap, if you will. You know what I mean? To say, from now on, it's going to be limited to, right? Was it how many years? 120. You're on fire today, buddy, I'm telling you. Yes, indeed. These Bible scholars, I love it. So, indeed, spirit, right, meant to connect with God who is spirit, drawing its life force from the ultimate life force that is God. Now, listen to this. Your spirit is necessary for your soul to exist. Grab it. Your spirit is necessary for your soul to exist. So the two always coexist. They coexist. Now, they are distinct. We'll talk about that. Not exactly the same thing, but they are inseparable. Right? That's because your soul requires your spirit to exist. All right, we'll get into that more. Soul. Now, the reason that this is so important in the context of us talking about God's highest will for us, and that is for us to become like Christ. For you and me to become like Christ means we got to change. I mean, duh, right? We're not there yet. You know, and if we are to become like Christ, it means we got to change. And that change can happen beginning when we are born again. Because what part of us is born again? Our spirit, says Deb, and she's 100% right, like she always is. You know, your spirit is made new. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? Remember the discussion, Nick at Night, right? Did you ever watch Nick at Night? She might have. Nick at Night. But Nick at Night came to Jesus and he was trying to explain that we must be born again. That is our spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Born again. That is, our spirit does get renewed. Come on. Renewed whenever we get saved. Listen to what happens. Our spiritual house literally is swept clean. What a great way to understand that. Your spiritual life is, your spirit is swept clean. Your spiritual house is swept clean. Remember, your spirit is your spiritual house. It's cleansed And then it can become, listen, it can become the habitation of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes, right? Into your spiritual house, that is your spirit, because now it is cleansed, right? There's no more sin in your spiritual house when Jesus comes in with his cleansing power. Amen? Yeah. No more sin in your spiritual house, but that doesn't mean that you will sin no more. No more sin in your spiritual house, but it doesn't mean you will sin no more. Why? You know why. It's because the soul is not immediately changed, renewed, wiped clean. What is your soul? Now, there is a simple way of defining it using three terms, but today I want to dig in a little bit deeper. You know, usually when people talk about the soul, they're talking about the mind, will, and emotions. But really, in order to grab it and understand what has to happen, let's break that down a little bit more. Because your mind also has memory. And it's good to distinguish that part of your mind because of its influence. Your mind also is capable of imagination. My wife is one of the most imaginative people that I know, and that's the truth. I'm not just saying that because I love her. Right? You also, in your soul, you have conscience, right? We're going to talk about all these. And then will, right, as we understand, really together make up what the Bible refers to as heart, right? So if you will, if you're following me, soul, mind, memory, imagination, conscience, will, emotions, heart. Now, let's talk about each one. Number one, you ready? Are you ready? All right. Your mind is the center of intellect and reasoning. Your mind, the center of intellect and reasoning. You know, humans, as you know, have a much, much higher level of intellect, capacity of learning, and reasoning, capacity for thinking, reasoning, than any other animal. Am I right? Sometimes you think, maybe not, but it is true. You know, and you've been taught, your mind is a very powerful thing. You've probably learned that, right? Yeah. So our minds become full of the information that it has been fed. You can understand that in computer terms, input, right? Input. Your minds have become full of the information that it has been fed, and it's capable, your mind is very capable of learning. We're watching our new grandson, you know, 5 months old yesterday. It's incredible how much they learn in the first 5 months of life, Chaz. The first 5 months, Miranda, you just became, really, your personality became already starting to be formed at 5 months old, Miranda. So much learning, so much processing is going on in that new mind, right, that is so capable of learning, input. And then it becomes capable, as Kim was telling our daughter the other day, things to look for in the development of a child, you know, because that's early childhood development was part of what Kim studied, right? So you look for things, right? And you realize that not only are they capable of learning, but they're also become capable of processing information to be able to reason. To be able to reason and actually come to conclusions, right? Now check this out. That process of input and thinking and reasoning and coming to conclusions, those conclusions, Tom, they become resident in the memory part of our mind, the conclusions. They form precedence in the same way like a court has precedence from previous cases, right? So a precedent, sometimes the courts will look, is there a precedent to this case? Is there a precedent to this situation that has already been thought through, reasoned, and a conclusion drawn so that we don't have to spend a lot of time? So your mind, in the same way, in processing information, comes to conclusions, and then in that future processing, it will always look for precedent of the reasoning before in order to draw another conclusion. And by the way, it's not my intention to focus on this today, but it is really important for you to know that this is how strongholds become developed in your mind. You know, the constant, right, precedents that take place, and that literally carving ruts in your mind. The conclusions become resident, but actually they help us then process information. And it actually helps us develop our belief system. Do you know every human being has a belief system? I don't care who you are, where you are in this world, big world of ours. Every human being that God ever created has some type of a belief system. They believe something because their minds have been created by God to come to those conclusions that are called beliefs. I'm not saying they're all right. In fact, you know, that's the problem, is our minds come to faulty beliefs because of faulty information that they are fed. But our belief systems are influenced by conscience and heart, and can be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And our minds, though, constantly searching for input, our minds can actually become bored, right? And indeed, when fed bad information, can become darkened. Darkened, say darkened, and foolish. This is what the Bible says is the opposite of wisdom. Romans 1 talks about how this is what happened in the minds of people who, instead of worshiping God, began to worship idols, right? Their foolish minds were darkened, the Bible says. And what did God do? He says they gave them over to a depraved mind. Reprobate is the King James, but yeah, a mind that is very clearly reasoning wrongly, reasoning flawed. Now at salvation, thank God, the Holy Spirit begins to work to try to renew our minds by replacing the bad information and the precedents that were wrong conclusions with truth, and allow for the right processing, right? And the ability to have wisdom. Did you ever read Proverbs? You know, and you hear wisdom calling out, wisdom emanating from God who is wisdom, like he's also love, the source. Wisdom calls out, right? Seek wisdom, seek knowledge, Solomon said. But this is from God, not the faulty of the world. And when the Holy Spirit begins to bring that knowledge, that wisdom from God, that truth into our minds, that is how our minds begin the process of renewing. Renewing. You know what the Bible says? As a man thinks, so is he. Yes. Now, I had mentioned before about memory, right? The reason it's important to just, for this sermon, to kind of separate out that part of your mind that is memory, is that you have to understand that memory is the center of recall. Recall, recollection, right? The center of recall. And God made us capable of remembering much, right? It is indeed our repository. Our memory is our repository of events and information. It's like a computer hard drive, isn't it? Memory, like a computer hard drive. And all the other parts of our soul call upon memory to be a part of their processes. You got to understand that, or you, if you don't, you'll wonder why you do what you do. Right? And interestingly, very importantly, God does not wipe out your memory when you get saved. Right? There's a good reason for that. What's the reason? Because that memory makes you who you are. It does. It forms personality. It forms, you know, it influences certainly the heart, which we'll get to in a minute. But let's not pass up another really key part of this wonderful soul that God gave us, and that is the ability to imagine. Dutch Sheets has a teaching about dreaming with God. Bill Johnson, also a teaching, dreaming with God. Do you know, God gave us the ability to imagine because it is creative power. Imagination. You want to talk about something powerful when channeled in the right direction. It is why we have been able to do so much as human beings. People imagine it and then create it. They imagine it and then create it. Imagination is a powerful part of our soul, but it also is capable of powerful evil, isn't it? Oh, it can be used, in other words, for good or bad. People say to me, oh, the internet, it's evil. I say, no, the internet isn't evil, but it can be used for evil. It can also be used for good. The medium is not either good or evil, but what flows in it. Amen? Imagination is the center of creativity. Powerful. Imagination first drew its stimulation from its connection with the Holy Spirit. This is why Kim would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with ideas about plays and begin to write almost an out-of-body experience, because this is flowing, right? It's flowing. Her fingers are typing. But what's happening? That creativity, right, connected with the Holy Spirit, is flowing and allowing creative force. It's an amazing thing. And the Holy Spirit can positively influence imagination to help us dream God's dreams for us. That's a good thing. I remember when I left college, my college roommate gave me a card, and I'll never forget, you know, what he wrote on that card. He says, don't ever lose your dreaming. Because whenever you lose that ability to dream, life becomes like a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. I know that's kind of corny, but isn't it crazy that all these years later it stuck with me? Huh. Dreaming. Positive force when connected to the Spirit of God. Creativity. Imagination. But be careful when imagination gets bored, because it'll seek input. You know? Come on. Oh, I don't think I have to go there, do I? Conscience. It'll get lead really well into conscience, right? What is conscience? Conscience is the center for morality. Conscience is the part of your mind, this part of your soul, that is the center of morality, right? It is shaped by what it has learned. It is shaped by what it's seen, what it's been taught regarding what is right and wrong. And it actually has both a conscience and a subconscious. Conscious, and a subconscious. Make up your conscience. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? That articulation. Yeah. Did you get it? Yeah. So conscience, it can exert influence on your will, right? It has the capacity to influence thoughts and decisions and actions. Conscience does. with the help of the Holy Spirit, conscience provides conviction. In fact, you were talking about steroids this morning. In fact, when the Holy Spirit comes in, right, the Holy Spirit acts like a steroid to your conscience. Can you grab that? Did anybody get it? You got it? You know, right? It literally, in other words, the Holy Spirit can take your conscience and elevate it, heighten it to the point where you can feel conviction for wrong, which is a really, really good thing. It's a really good thing whenever your conscience is really healthy, right, connected by the Spirit of God, because then you can be influenced by your conscience, even to the point of not doing something wrong before you even do it because the conviction is so strong. Are you following me? However, here's what happens. Your conscience can be seared. Your conscience can be deadened. Your conscience literally can become so calloused. How? Well, you understand how. You keep doing wrong over and over and over and over again, and the calluses, just like calluses on your hands, begin to form here. And you feel less and less and less of conviction for doing wrong. And I want to tell you, you want to be in a bad place. The bad place is when you stop feeling that strong conviction for wrongdoing. But with God's grace, right, by His help, conscience again can be your guide with the Holy Spirit, right? By the way, this is important to say, without grace, conscience can produce condemnation and guilt. You understand, you felt that. Without grace, but with grace. Why does the Bible say, Romans 8:1, you know what Romans 8:1 says? There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful, powerful verse. That means that God, the Holy Spirit, connecting with your conscience, isn't there to condemn you, it's there to lead you. Convict that you may do what is right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path, direct your path, make your path straight. Conscience. Now, let's talk about this last one before heart. Will. Will. Again, you know, I got to be a grandfather. I'm really excited again, you know, to see I have a new one that's just born, you know, and it already looks like I'm going to have a strong-willed grandson. You know what I mean? It's already becoming evident in his personality that's coming out. You know, what is will? Will is the center of motivation for both thought and action. Right? Huh. It is certainly influenced by memory in what has been reinforced, positive, and punished, negative, right? In both our flesh, our body, and in our mind. And indeed, will certainly plays a part in the creation of desire, doesn't it? Huh? Will is influenced by heart and conscience, but it makes its own ultimate decision to act, doesn't it? Come on, you following me, will? Will is capable of causing us to take action in our mind and body. In other words, what we think and what we do. Its influence on our soul, our will's influence on our soul can be so strong that I want to tell you, not much is going to happen without its consent. Have you figured that out? Not much is done without its influence, but much can be done when it exerts its strong influence, creating desire and motivation in your life. Have you ever heard the saying, motivation is everything? Well, take Try to diet sometime without motivation. Try to exercise sometime without motivation. Good luck with that, right? Yeah. You've heard of the phrase willpower. You understand why that phrase came to be. But I want to tell you something as we move on to the next and last and most important part of our soul that really encompasses everything else. Willpower alone is not capable of changing you. I got to say that one more time. Willpower alone, not capable of changing you. I want you to use your imagination with me this morning for a second. Imagine riding in a speedboat on Raystown Lake. We're talking about pontoons. Now I want you to put you in a speedboat now, all right? Speedboat, Curtis. No pontoon now. I mean, you know, the two 150 Mercs on the back, right? Speedboat. Now that speedboat has a GPS with an autopilot on it. You know, like an airplane does. You know, you can set the autopilot. That way you can go do whatever you want, right? Autopilot. So let's say you're in that speedboat and you set the autopilot to go east. Now, after a while, you decide that you don't want to go east. You want to go west. And as you know, as far as the east is from the west, right? So what you do, you know, you grab a hold of the steering wheel and you begin to turn west. What happens? You're finding something that's fighting against you. What is that that's fighting against you? The autopilot. The autopilot is trying, every time you're doing this, it's trying to do this, right? That's what happens when you try to change yourself strictly with willpower. You have an autopilot, brothers and sisters, that needs turned off, reset. Yeah, isn't it good, Chet? You gotta understand about the autopilot. And that autopilot, the Bible tells us, is indeed what the Holy Spirit wants to influence when He comes into your life. He wants to reprogram it. But isn't that a process, church? Now, I said the last and most important part. If you wrap all these together and add emotion, you get heart. The center of personality, the center of who we are, our unique self, our character resides in what the Bible calls the heart. The heart is also the center of emotion in our life. It is therefore capable of the strongest emotion that God ever gave us, which is love. But it's also capable of hate. In fact, it's capable of strong love and strong hate, forceful love and forceful hate. Well, it's capable of feeling other emotions that flow from love and hate, like sympathy, anger, compassion, desire, courage, and fear. They emanate from your heart. And listen to this now. Tune this in. Don't tune me out yet. Hear this really key phrase as we segue to conclude this morning. Your heart's influence is so strong that it has the potential to override all others. Just look at a crazy young guy in love and you'll understand what I mean. Your heart's influence is so strong that it has potential to override rational thought, will, conscience, memory, imagination. That's how strong the heart is made by God. It is fed by your life's experiences, positive and negative, particularly your strong emotional experiences of your life. like loves and losses. Come on. Hurts and joys, which are all stored, listen to this, in your heart's recesses, which are even deeper than conscious memory. But your heart, because of those experiences, can become hardened. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, the scripture says. Is it any question then why, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, what does the Holy Spirit target? Your heart. Right? The Holy Spirit comes and targets the place that God created where love can exist. The Holy Spirit at salvation comes inside and targets the place the love of God can influence. Through the Holy Spirit, your heart is the place where indeed the love of God begins to heal and soften and allow you to love God back. You know, and I know that God pleading, you know, in the Old Testament, God's heart being revealed in the Old Testament says, I am looking forward to the day whenever I will put a new heart in my people. And that won't be the heart of stone. And in that heart of flesh that I will give them, I will write my laws, and they will follow me. They will love me, says the Lord. What does it mean? It means the Holy Spirit has the ability to come into your heart and soften and heal and fill it with such love that your heart then becomes your driving force to change every other part of your soul. Every other part of your soul. And so, guard your heart, the Bible says. For out of it flows the wellspring of life. Tyler, what did we sing this morning, right? Spring up, O well, right? You see, God is the well. The Holy Spirit is the well. The Holy Spirit is the river. I come alive in the river. Do you see these songs today? Can you start making connections by the Holy Spirit of what God is speaking today and how He wants us to literally come alive through our connection with Him by the indwelling Holy Spirit that indeed wants to influence us so much that He brings life to our entire being. In Him is life. In Him is peace and joy, fullness of that. But my friends, we have to connect. We have to indeed cooperate with the Holy Spirit to do this work in us. There's one part of our soul that God will not indeed, not take over, and it is our will. That's because God has given us the freedom to choose, and He pleads with us, choose me. All the other influences are there to help us choose rightly. And as He said, as you know, Paul, in the book of Deuteronomy, He says, choose life. I set before you life and death. Choose life, He said. Allow the Holy Spirit, moment by moment in your life, day by day in your life, to influence you, to come into your heart. And to guide you into making the daily choices to connect, stay connected, and flow in His Spirit. You know, worship. I can't end without saying this, worship. Worship is so important, Jules. It's so critical to our souls. Because in worship, the pipeline becomes wider open. Anybody have an old internet? Certainly nobody here still has the dial-up, do they? Not even her? Okay. You know, can you imagine, you know, the pipeline to God being wide open and all the good things that can flow into you? It's why David loved to be in the presence of God. It's like the pipeline chets open wide. And you're in God's presence in a very manifest way. That's why it's in deep worship that transformation really can happen faster in our lives. Can you understand it? It's really why, because we are feeling the full pipeline of His Spirit. And boy, that does good things in our soul, doesn't it? God is the ability to change. God is the ability to change from the inside out. From the inside out. Let Him in. Right? Don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul. Amen? Then you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, His acceptable will. You indeed will see change in your life because you'll become more and more like Him. More and more like Him. Listen, there used to be an old chorus, probably before you were born, said, "Make me more like You, Jesus, make me more like You." What a prayer. What a prayer. Can you imagine what it would be like, Dee, if every Christian, every day, would become more like Jesus? The means are there. Will you have the will? Almighty Father, we come and we ask You, Father, to just really turn the lights on. Holy Spirit, come anew. Come anew into our spirit. And when You come, Lord, we know You've swept the house clean, but would You turn the lights on? Turn the lights on full and show us, oh God, truly what's going on. Lord, let that light be Your truth and let Your power come then after illuminating the truth to apply it to our lives and to see our need to change and Your ability to change us in our hearts. Fill us anew, God, with Your Spirit and by Your love, O God, begin that work, continue that work on our hearts, Lord, to cleanse, to soften, to heal, to bring wisdom and knowledge, to change us, God. Make us more like You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.